We continue our reading of the book of 1 Samuel. Today we are in 1 Samuel chapter 20. We'll begin at verse 24. We'll go to the end of the chapter, which is verse 42. Now, this is a classic chapter that shows us the Bible is not only God's word, it's not only true and blessed, it's also the most honest book you're ever going to read. Because the Bible gives us the unvarnished truth about this world in which we live and what's the result of the reign of sin. This chapter ends at really a pretty decisive moment in the lives of Jonathan, the son of the king Saul, and David, the young hero, these wonderful young men who've been committed to the Lord, and they're brought nearly to despair because of the wickedness they have to deal with. It all started when David slew Goliath. But Saul, who was reigning as king, was just filled with envy and bitterness. He didn't really care. How many leaders are like this? It's true. You see it in the churches. You see it in society. You see it in families. Saul didn't care about the nation. He didn't care about God. He cared about his petty rivalries, his ego, his own position and power. We see here he's resolved to kill David because he sees David as a threat to his legacy through his son Jonathan. And Jonathan is a wonderful man, but it's kind of embarrassing here. They know that Saul's out to kill David, and so David is unwilling to come to the royal table, and Saul tells a disingenuous story that, well, David's got a thing going in Bethlehem, and his family needs him here. That wasn't true. And Saul sees right through it, and he says, you know, actually he curses him with language that a man ought to speak to his son involving his mother and the wicked things. Actually, Saul, because he wants Jonathan to be king, he tries to kill Saul, Jonathan. This is the problem of rage. How many people, how many men are destroying their families with rage? How many leaders? And you'll have ministers, you'll have sessions who destroy their churches because of petty rivalries. This is the world in which we live, and the Bible just gives it right to us. Well, what's the answer? Well, the answer is not going to come from Saul. Saul's not going to provide a solution. He's utterly in the grips of sin. He's consuming himself. The answer is not even going to come from David and Jonathan. We think very highly of them, but they're not managing the situation. In fact, this is the beginning of a long season where David is going to be in a graduate course of learning how to trust the Lord. How many times our trials are a graduate course, and maybe it's time for you, David, to start learning to trust the Lord, and he's going to have his ups and downs. No, the solution is going to come from the Lord, because in the midst of this story, my friends, in the midst of this world, our only hope is a faithful God, a God of grace. And you have in this chapter, they have this signal system. We read it last week where Jonathan's going to have arrows shot, and it's a coded way. Well, you and I don't rely on codes. We have the Word of God. Tell us the truth, to tell us the unvarnished truth, to tell us there is no hope for our lives, for our families, for our churches. There's certainly no hope for our culture and our nation unless the Lord, unless we walk in his ways, unless we commit ourselves to him. He is the only Savior we are ever going to have. But what a Savior he is. Well, with all those thoughts in mind, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word. We start at verse 24. Of 1 Samuel 20. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon came, the king sat down to eat food. The king sat on his seat, as at other times, on the seat by the wall. Jonathan sat opposite, and Abner sat at Saul's side, but David's place was empty. Yet Saul did not say anything that day, for he thought, something has happened to him. He is not clean. Surely he's not clean. But on the second day, the day after the new moon, David's place was empty. And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, why has not the son of Jesse come to the meal, either yesterday or today? Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. He said, let me go, for our clan holds a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to be there. So now, if I found favor in your eyes, let me get away and see my brothers. For this reason, he has not come to the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, neither you nor your kingdom shall be established. Therefore send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. Then Jonathan answered Saul, his father, "Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" But Saul hurled his spear at him and at him to strike him. So Jonathan knew that his father was determined to put David to death. And Jonathan rose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had disgraced him. In the morning, Jonathan went out into the field, into the appointment with David, and with him a little boy, and he said to the boy, "Run and find the arrows that I shoot." As the boy ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the boy came to the place of the arrow that Jonathan had shot, Jonathan called after the boy and says, "Is not the arrow beyond you?" And Jonathan called after the boy, "Hurry, be quick, do not stay." So Jonathan's boy gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the boy knew nothing. Only Jonathan and David knew the matter, and Jonathan gave his weapons to the boy and said to him, "Go and carry them to the city." And as soon as the boy had gone, David rose from behind the stone heap and fell on his face to the ground and bowed three times, and they kissed one another and wept with one another, David weeping the most. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, because we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord shall be between me and you, and between my offspring and your offspring forever.'" And he rose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. The grass withers and the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.